Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
You're listening to The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. And listen, they recognize that so many families and partners depend on their services that they provide at MIG, and they want you to know that their team has shown incredible fortitude through this time of incredible uncertainty. And MIG is committed to using every tool at their disposal to ensure that their employees are safe and their clients' needs are met. And maybe you're out there feeling stuck on where to go for mortgage advice. Let Mortgage Investors Group's experts help you with any questions to help fit your needs and achieve your goals. Decades of experience. Find out more at MIGonline.com.
Eric, we start the 11 o'clock hour every Wednesday with a little game of over-under. Joel Silverberg dishes out the numbers. We debate whether there will be an over or an under. Joel, what do you have for us today?
Yeah, as the first item today, the number of quarterbacks to start a game this year for Tennessee, the over-under is set at 1.5.
Brian?
Goes directly to our discussion from a few minutes ago. Here's the thing. Whether it will be performance or not, I think there will be at least two quarterbacks that start a game for Tennessee this year. Jared Garantano has had injury issues. There have been times when Jeremy Pruitt's wanted to make a statement to his quarterback. So I will play the easy money or the smart money, and I will say over that at least two quarterbacks start a game this year.
I'll take the over as well. Garantano got injured last year. He was knocked out of four games the year before that. So, you know, history would tell you it's just, and Tennessee just has a history of needing multiple quarterbacks throughout the course of the season. So I'm going to take the over.
So I think that's the easy play, probably the smart play, honestly, but that would have been the case through my first 3 years in college as well. It would have been take the over. Ainge gets hurt. Who knows how he's playing? Does he have a concussion problem? Whatever it is. But then my senior year, even with a broken hand and a dislocated shoulder coming off knee surgery, I started all 14 games. And I think that that's what you're going to get from Jarrett this year. I think he's going to stay healthy enough to play. I mean, that's the big kicker there. If you don't think he's going to play good enough to start all 14, then hopefully you don't ever start him if you're Jeremy Pruitt. You know, you got to be good enough that they want you to start every game of the year. Does he stay healthy for all 14? They won't play 14 this year. But if they did play 13, 14, whatever it is, I think that I'm going to take the under. And I think he's going to stay healthy and then be able to play them all.
Eric, do you know, since you left your last year at Tennessee in 2007, there have only been three seasons where Tennessee has started only one quarterback.
2016, 2009.
And Bray's last year.
And Bray, 12.
12, 15, 16. And, 2008. So it's four instead of three.
Was it 2008 or 2009?
2009. The Crompton season. Yeah.
Yeah, so nine, four seasons.
The 2 years that Dobbs started, and then Tyler Bray did get the start in every game in 2012.
Yeah, so 9, 12, 15, and 16. That's
doesn't
crazy.
Happen often.
Nope.
All right, number two.
Mike Leach got his first top 300 recruit earlier this week with four-star quarterback Sawyer Robertson. Over-under on the years Mike Leach will coach in Starkville. The over-under is set at 4.5.
I'm taking under. I think he is a four-year guy tops. I don't think, though he brings an exciting brand of football, I don't think he'll win enough games in the SEC, and Mississippi State fans will get antsy, and when they do, Mike Leach will not handle that well. So I'll say under.
I'm going to take the over just because of how much longevity he's had at his previous two stops. I realize that's Washington State and Texas Tech, and he walks in with low expectations. And I think Mississippi State, because of Dan Mullen, believes that they should have higher expectations. The fact of the matter is they just shouldn't, especially with LSU now getting back to severe national prominence, Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M with Jimbo. I don't know what realistic expectations are for Mississippi State fans right now. Whatever they are, they probably aren't realistic. So I'm going to take the over unless Leach decides to go somewhere else. But if he's winning 7 or 8 games a season, he'll stick around in Starkville, because that's about as good as you can do outside of Dan Mullen when it comes to Mississippi State football.
I agree, Joel. I mean, it's weird. So I'm going to take the under for all the reasons that you just said. I just think that the Mississippi State fans are going to have some unrealistic expectations for him. I mean, there are 4 teams in his division that recruit at a top 10 level in the country. Like, at best, you're 8-4 every year. And that's if you win all the rest of them. I think he's a 6-6 to 8-4 guy there in Starkville. And if that's not good enough for him, then, well, they're going to be disappointed. But I'm going to say under.
All right, number 3.
All right, so you guys are now in day 6 of using your home studio setup. The number of days that you guys will be in home studios, the over-under set at 20.5.
Oh, man. I hope it's under. I get the feeling, though, it's going to be over.
I hope it's over.
You would.
That's funny.
You would.
Joel just made me laugh out loud.
If we have to, if I have to pick, I wish it was under, but I think it will be over. I think we'll be right around 30. Now, it's only show days, so, but I do. I think it'll be slightly over.
Yeah, I think it's going to be over as well, given the recent extension on the safer at home order. Something would have to change that's pointing to the fact that COVID-19 is starting to be eradicated. And right now, I think we're trying to do the best that we can with social distancing and all that stuff. But I think there's going to be a lot of caution exercised, even if we start having progress immediately. And so because of that, I'm going to take the over.
In the month of April, there are 22 broadcasting days.
Yes.
So I'm going to say over, just because I don't think it's going to happen in the month of April. So for that reason alone, I'm going to take the over.
Freshman right. to start a game for Tennessee this upcoming fall, the over-under set at 3.5.
I'm going to take the under. I think this will be the fewest freshmen that start a game for Tennessee in some time. I think you will see 2 freshmen draw starts over the course of the season and no more.
So is this for the season opener, or is this for the entire course of the season?
This is for the season.
I'll take the over, because at some point, if you have an injury that's hit hard and you're struggling with depth or anything like that, or you give guys an opportunity, I'm going to take the over, just because the odds, I feel like there are more scenarios that I could see that happening, where even if it's just on a 1-game basis, or if, somebody, for a game like Charlotte or, any of the other FCS opponents that Tennessee's going to be, just games like that, situations like that, especially if Tennessee struggles with depth at linebacker and cornerback and needs more help there, positions like that, that might be in a scenario of need. So I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, I, Joel, I kind of agree with that. I think you could have max 2 guys, like Brian said, that would be starters from as freshmen, where they're the best player. Therefore, they're out there starting. I think you might see you might see none of those, honestly. But over the course of a 12-game regular season, I think you're going to see several guys for, this guy gets banged up, this guy gets a targeting call, this guy gets a whatever. I think you'll see over, but I don't think it's going to be a lot over. But I'm going to take the over, but I do think it will be a very minimal number.
All right, last one.
Okay, so now that the playoff has expanded in the NFL, that means only one team from each conference is getting a first-round bye. So NFL teams that do not have a playoff bye to make the Super Bowl next year, the over-under is set at 0.5. So in other words, does a non-number one seed in either conference make the Super Bowl next year?
The last time a team made the Super Bowl without receiving a first-round bye was the Ravens in 2012. It has not happened often, but the odds go up a little bit this year. So I will say over. I think one of the 2 teams will make the Super Bowl this year, not having the first round bye.
Yeah, I'll take the over. You're basically putting your money on two teams having to go a combined 4-0 over the course of 2 weeks. And granted, they're playing all those games at home. But I think with as loaded as we have seen the NFC in the last couple of years, there are multiple teams that I think have been capable of going on a run to the Super Bowl. So I think one of those teams is good enough to win a road game. So I would expect to, and plus it's tough to repeat. We've seen that. So there's going to be a target on Kansas City in the AFC. So I just think with, especially in the NFC, New Orleans, Green Bay, San Francisco, Seattle, there's a lot of really good teams that are capable of winning a road game in the divisional round of the NFC championship. So I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over too on that one. I think someone will do it. I like the playoff expansion. I'm good with that. Hey, not that it's over-under, but did you guys see the news about Wimbledon?
Yeah, officially announced this morning that Wimbledon will not be rescheduled. It is canceled. They will go ahead and focus on the 134th Championships next year in 2021.
For the first time since World War II.
Yeah.
Just for some perspective on what's happening and going on right now.
Joel, you're the resident tennis expert. Is this the right call considering the back half of the year's tennis calendar has become awfully crowded with the French Open scheduled to start the week after the conclusion of the U.S. Open?
Yeah, because we're talking about trying to get stuff done for May, and with the French Open already being moved, you're hoping that the U.S. Open can get everything figured out. I think, and not only that, it's just such an international event. You have athletes and fans coming from all over. It's not like just like the NBA, where if certain markets are hit less by COVID-19, then maybe it's safe to start playing games again in a neutral location. With something like this, it's you just never know who could be carrying it. When you've got trainers and racket stringers and all the fans that come from all over the world to watch this event. So it's a really tough call to make, but I still feel like it's too close to where you would expect to start hopefully seeing sports being played again. And I think if you were going to be cautious and try to have this event without fans, I just don't think it would be the same.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but we're starting to get to that point. There were some interesting comments made by Brett Murphy yesterday on the Paul Feinbaum show on what the college football schedule could look like as well. When we come back here on the Eric Haines Show, Tennessee has a new wide receiver commit. He's an in-state player out of the Nashville area. We'll tell you about Walker Merrill coming up on the other side on the Eric Haines Show. 56-9900. Ernie is up next. Ernie, welcome into the EA Show. Ernie, you got us.
Having some phone problems today.
All right.
Hello there, Brian. Hello.
Are you there?
Eric, how are
Ernie,
doing?
You got us?
Good,
yeah, we're
man.
Good.
Hello?
Go ahead,
yes, Ernie.
All right, we'll put Ernie back on hold and try to catch up with him here in a second. Remember, please listen through your phone, not through the radio, because we do have the required FCC 8-second delay. 656-9900, if you want to join us, Tennessee's new commitment, Walker Merrill, out of the Nashville area from Brentwood. Eric, he's the number 6 player in state for the 2021 class, but a good receiver, has some good physical skills, though a little undersized, 6'1", 176 pounds.
Yeah, and I don't know that I would call him undersized. Watching him play, and he looks like he's gotten a lot bigger and stronger, too, from whenever his last weigh-in would have been, but he's a physical kid, man, and I talked about him earlier. He can do a lot of different things, and the way you determine whether a player can play in the Southeastern Conference, I mean, really at any level, but especially the SEC, mini NFL, and the best corners top to bottom in the country are in the Southeastern Conference. If they can beat press coverage, then they can play. If they can't, then they're a situational guy at best. And I think Walker Merrill, when you watch his film and you watch some of his little highlight stuff and his camp videos and different things like that that he's put out there or retweeted that's been put out there, the kid is a very special athlete. He's a 4-4 guy. He has a crazy vertical. I talked about the dunk where he does a ball up all the way down to his waist, full windmill dunk at 6'1". So he's a very special athlete, and he plays a very physical brand of football. And I have some inside intel on this kid, and the intel is that this our staff has him earmarked as one of the top guys in the class that they want, and at the position, at the wide receiver position. So they really wanted him, just like Lane Kiffin. I told you, I got a buddy who know who's involved down there, and they really wanted this kid too. So this is, and I think he's a 4-star on at least one site, if not others. But I know on 247 he's a composite 3-star. But I think this kid with the camp circuit, if he would have been able to do all this stuff and then go into a and have a good senior camp senior year campaign, I think he would have ended up being a 4-star prospect. But you know, regardless, he's a good player. This is a really good get for Tennessee. He would have blown up, and his offer list, he wouldn't have been picking between Tennessee, Vandy, and Ole Miss, if he were waiting until this, you know, the fall to make his decision, or the winter time. I think he would have, his offer list would have blown up. His star rating would have blown up. And I think you're getting, as far as I'm concerned, the way I phrased it earlier, you have guys that you unanimously as a staff decide you want. And then sometimes there's your split and you have to kind of go back and forth. And this is a kid that anybody on our staff, but especially T. Chaney and Pruitt, when they look at this kid, Walker Merrill, they're all saying, yep, want him.
Let's try Ernie again at 656-9900. Ernie, welcome in to the EA show. You got us?
Let's try Ernie again at 656-9900. Ernie, welcome in.
You got to turn your radio down, Ernie.
Ernie, you got to listen to your phone. Okay. Hey, yeah, you got to listen through your phone and turn down the radio, please. All right.
We're trying, Ernie. You got to turn the radio down, and there you go. Can you hear us?
All right.
It's okay. Sorry, Ernie. We're not being rude.
Not making a connection there. All right. Continue on with Walker Merrill. He has some skills that everybody you mentioned Lane Kiffin really was after him. With Jeremy Pruitt and his staff being a staff that values making evaluations in camp, values what they see, not what analysts see, does it show some positivity that Tennessee is able to identify a guy without having him come to camp this summer, still extend the committable offer, and get him in the fold here at this point in the spring?
Well, yeah, I mean, and I would consider myself an analyst. So, I mean, when I'm watching his film and what has been put out there, everything that's out there to watch about him anyway, I would be right there with the coaching staff saying, absolutely, give me this kid. Love to have him on our football team. I think he has a really, really high ceiling for a 6'1" inch guy. And I said it earlier, and I'll double down on it. I mean, he's a white boy from the mid-state, you know, that sometimes that doesn't get to go on camps this year. And it just is what it is. So I think there's a lot of reasons why you see him with a slightly lower rating than I think he is valued at. You know, Lane Kiffin and Jeremy Pruitt don't get really excited about getting a kid that they don't want. And I think everyone in on him really, really wanted him. That I'm actually glad for this is a COVID-19 positive right here, because this kid would have blown up and had everyone knocking at his door and had committable offers from anyone else that watched his senior year. And I'm glad that we went ahead and got him now.
Yeah, it's a big pickup, and it is Tennessee's second pickup for the 2021 class in as many days, after adding the running back on Monday evening. Got a little bit of momentum here. I don't know how easy it is to sustain that with all the restrictions on in-person contact going forward.
Yeah.
But this recruiting season is going to be one like any other. Some recruiting analysts have speculated they may not have an early signing period this year. I don't know that I'm ready to say that after talking to some people in the industry, but it is a possibility that, you know, you don't want to push it for guys that haven't had too much of an opportunity to come in and really see your campus and get to know coaches in person. And we don't know what recruiting rules are going to look like as far as coach visits coming up over the rest of the summer and into the start of the season. So those are all things that are unknown as you try to go into an unknown type of season, something we haven't seen before.
I mean, that's where we're at on this whole thing. I mean, that's why, like, it's funny, but like yesterday when we were talking about Walker Merrill and him committing and how it was gonna, that's what we all thought. And then he did, and I was sitting around watching his huddle film and some different highlight reels from his camp. And I was like, oh man, thank you for doing this right now. This gave me some current film to watch. I mean, I'm actually, I kind of went about it yesterday, but I was going, you know, I'm kind of all in on this recruiting thing right now. It's not that I'm not always, I mean, we talk to Ryan Callahan every week. We focus on the kids that come, but watching film of a prospect to me is current sports happening right now. If that makes sense. Like I hear about a prospect, then I go back and I watch their film. Recruiting sites and the huddle site and all that, they should be getting phenomenal online numbers right now with all the people thinking the way I'm thinking, which is, well, I might as well learn as much as I can about all these guys and watch their film, because to me that is, it is new because I've never watched their film before, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be a unique challenge, and I think with the way that they analyze players, this staff may be in a better position than some as far as using this to their advantage.
You want a quarantine conundrum that I have right now at my at my house, Brian? Because for everyone listening, we're broadcasting at home. You know, when we have a guest on, obviously it's over the phone and different stuff like that. But in my garage is where we keep the fancy, with a garbage bag in it, easy to take in, easy to take out. It's where we keep the diaper throwaway area.
Okay.
Well, I also happen to be broadcasting in the garage. Uh-huh. And there was just a dirty diaper delivered to the garbage can, you know, where it's got a little lid that pops up and then automatically shuts back down. Anyway, not great to be out here in the garage when a dirty number two diaper gets delivered. That is a current broadcasting quarantine conundrum that I have right now. There's a dirty diaper scent in the broadcasting area of one Eric Ainge. It's not ideal. It hadn't happened yet. This is day six of broadcasting at home, and that is the first time that I've had that diaper delivery for this quarantine conundrum. But whew, wouldn't mind switching with you in a bedroom with no kids or dirty diapers right now.
Yeah, none of that happening at the Rice household right now. We'll come back here on the Eric Ainge Show next.
Woo!
Would be living on campus. Will they be allowed to do that if all classes are being held online?
Are they being held online mandatory? Like you can't,
yes.
They will not have. See, that's, dude, I don't
not
know.
Have in-person
this
classes.
is not good. That is not a good step to hear. As we sit here today, you know, and there's so many different things, you know, it's hard. I mean, I would be fine with them based on everything that I'm seeing and hearing. I would be fine with hearing that was the case for June for sure. But July, I don't, you know, I get it. That's only 1 month later, but.
Well, and you have some classes that extend over both sessions of summer school as well.
Okay, so that's the tough part, you know, because I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, from everything that I can see, I mean, you may, again, I don't know anything about any of this stuff. I just try to read the reputable stuff I can. But if there's some people thinking maybe we could be, you know, getting back to more business as usual anyway, sometime in June, then even if you take that to sometime in July, then you're asking your kids to maybe be gone that whole time, and then what, they just show up and go to training camp?
Yeah.
I mean, it would so incredibly, that this would be the biggest impact on college football would be, I mean, those summer sessions, June and July, is what you spend all of your time throwing, lifting, eat, breathe, drink, football, you have your summer school, yeah, and you know, you have your weekends off and stuff like that, but it is that 2 month time period is what gets you ready for training camp. No one's ready for training camp if they just show up to training camp.
Right.
But if everyone has to do that, then yet again, you'd have an even playing field, but whew.
And you don't know that everybody's going to do that because this is a Tennessee decision right now. This is not a, and it does apply to all University of Tennessee system campuses. They will be online only through the summer session. Now, it's possible that they will allow them to come, will allow athletes to come to campus. And it's possible that they'll allow them to move in and they'll be able to provide nutritional support. But that's not in the release right now. And if you're not having class on campus, you're having it all online, I think there are doubts about that. We'll see schools follow, but I don't see how other schools won't follow.
That's kind of where I'm at. Like this, if this becomes the norm for everybody, then that's okay. If you had some schools not doing that and some schools doing that, oh my gosh, what an advantage.
Yeah.
An advantage. I can't think of anything that's happened in the modern era that would give more of an advantage to the schools that didn't, you know, to the schools that allowed their athletes to come. And again, we don't, like you just said, we don't know with this being released if that means if the athletes could come to campus during that time. Maybe they could. If they could, then you'd be fine. But if you have one school, if Florida has their athletes practicing and weightlifting and throwing together and doing all that stuff for June and July, and a Tennessee didn't, I would have zero expectations that we were going to be competitive with that school come fall. That's how big of a deal that is.
Right.
So I hope that as we follow this, we'll find out if that's even true, if just because we're doing classes online means that we can or can't have kids on campus and working out and all that kind of stuff. It's too early for me to go down that rabbit hole, but I will be following that, and we will all be following that intently, because that potentially has the ability to be the biggest thing in preparation for a college football season ever.
Yeah. And that's where we could be there. So we'll find that out.
Hopefully not.
When you were you mentioned Santonio Holmes took your number 10 with the New York Jets without giving you anything. What would you say, if you had to guess, that Tom Brady is going to give Chris Godwin for his number 12? Godwin's worn the number 12 since high school. Tom Brady's coming in. What do you think the price was?
TB12, man. I don't know what the price was, but the fact that he's a number one caliber 1,000-yard receiver would make me believe that TB12 is going to take very, very good care of him. I mean, the price range it's all over the map for different guys at different times, but this should have several zeros after it. More than three.
It only has one zero. He's not making him give him anything for it. He told the Buccaneers website.
That's different.
If he doesn't want it or if he's not making a big deal about it, I'm definitely going to keep it. We'll see how that goes. I just think out of respect for what he's done, what he's accomplished, just the kind of career he's built for himself, you have to lean into that respect, unquote.
Would love the football.
Yes. Well, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's going into a contract year. He's going to make more money this year because they picked up his fourth-year option. He's going to make a little over $2 million this year. He's made right at $2 million over the first 3 years of his career. When you look at the top paid wide receivers, and in touchdowns, he was in the top five last year. In yards, he was in the top five last year in the NFL. When you look at top flight receivers, when they sign their second contracts, really every about 120 yards that he gets is another $1 million a year on his contract starting next year. So, yeah, give him the number and say, hey, you want to throw me the ball? Because every time I get 120 yards, that's another $1 million in my contract for next year.
So there's obviously that's a long-term play for Godwin to do that. But I would imagine Tom Brady will still do something for him.
Probably.
You know, that was kind of how I was. You know, Rex Ryan came to me and said, hey, Super Bowl MVP Santonio Holmes is coming. You know, you've already been a different number. Will you not make a big deal out of it? And of course, as a backup quarterback, I mean, I was like, yeah, that's fine. I was like, he couldn't ask me. And he was like, he kind of gave me the hand, like, you know, it's a, like, hey, I know, but he was trying to play police. And I never was a confrontational guy anyway. I wouldn't have given him a hard time, but when I had to didn't do it, and he didn't even like ask me or talk to me, he had the coach come and do it. I was like, dude, and a bunch of guys on the team wore him out about it forever. You know, they'd make little jokes like, hey, hey, Santonio, I need to talk to you about this. Does Rex need to come talk to me? Or can I talk, you know, like they wore him out about it because it just, it's not how you should do it. But I would imagine Tom Brady would go, thank you. That's awesome. And yes, obviously as a stud receiver, you're going to get the rock a ton, no more or less, because you gave him the jersey, right? You're just starting a relationship off on the right foot, but Brady will still do something for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably will. All right, we'll come back and find out what we learned today and get you set for what's coming up next. This is the Eric Haines Show.
The Merle kid and the Rock kid's got some speed, and the Anasiki kid in basketball's been a real big addition they had last week. So that's we've had some good news here recently, I guess.
That's right.
The epidemic.
Desperately
needed. I wanted to pick your brain a little bit, Eric, just real quick. I mean, I still think Jarrett Garantano is the guy for this year. Harrison Bailey coming in. Everybody's up excited. Of course, I am too. We're all excited about it because he's got a lot of talent. If he comes in and plays, you know, I don't like it because, you know, this fan base, if he comes in and just doesn't get off the start he needs to, and you can relate to this because you played as a freshman, you know, I don't like fans writing him off, you know, calling him this and that, you know. What as a freshman, how would you handle that? You know, if fans are already writing you off as a freshman, bad you are.
I'm glad that first off, I don't know if you heard us earlier when we were talking about him, but you know, I just reminded people that Peyton Manning wasn't even good enough to win the starting job as a true freshman when there were other guys on the roster. You know, some guys had to get hurt, and then once he went out there, he never came off. And I think you might have a guy like that in Harrison Bailey that, like, if he gets out there due to injury or other people playing poorly or whatever, once he gets out there, he may be a guy that you never get, you know, like, if you're the other guys, you're going, we can't ever let him get the ball because if he gets the ball, we're all done. He may be that good someday, but that's not going to be as a true freshman when there's other guys on the roster. So, I just, you know, I caution everyone getting too excited to see him this year because I don't think they will. I mean, I think you'll see what he's really made of after this whole season, a spring practice, another training camp, and then the 2021 season is where I think you could potentially see a starting quarterback, Harrison Bailey. Physically, he's got all the tools, and I'm really excited about him too. I don't have any expectations to see him play other than some mop-up duty and stuff like that. Or if the other guys aren't playing well. And, I hope I don't see him play this year because that means the other guys are getting hurt or not playing good, and that's not a good situation to be in. So I think next year is when you're going to see what he's made
of. I'm glad we have him, but, you know, everybody's just putting a lot of their eggs in his basket, and I don't want to do that yet as a freshman, you know, because
it's not going to happen. They're going to get disappointed. It's just not going to happen. I mean, he's not going to win the job as a true freshman.
And I hope Jarrett can have a good season. I'd like to see him do it because he's been through a lot, and, you know, he deserves it. He really does, rightfully so.
He's got to earn the job again this year like he continues to do, and he's got to play like he did during that stretch of the year last year when he bounced back. If he does that and plays that way all year, then, you know, we'll be an 8-4, 9-3 football team.
Yeah, and there's no reason why we can't. I know, and I will say this, I think if Marquez Callaway was on Alabama or Georgia or LSU, he would be a first-round pick.
There, we do definitely have a bunch of guys. Hey, we got to get out of here pretty quick, but thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening up in the Tri-Cities, man. Call us anytime you want to. Really glad to be on up there and glad you're listening.
Adam, we appreciate it. It's time to find out what we learned today, and that's brought to you each day by Regenerative Complete.
Yep, regencomplete.com. They have some really cool stuff going on there, Brian, right now. They have elective surgeries obviously canceled, but if you're in pain That's not getting canceled, right? You're still in pain. They're giving PRP biological shots for $50. They're regularly, it's a $500 value, and it's a scheduled office visit. Obviously, they're an essential business. It's covered by insurance or self-pay. It's good for joint pain, tendons, muscle strains, anything like that. And then testosterone patients, free testosterone check. Check out what your number is, and they have take-home options there, self-pay options there as well. This is a great gap for patients that are waiting for joint replacement, and they want to try to avoid that altogether. A PRP shot could change your life, and you can find out more at regencomplete.com. What'd you learn, man?
I learned that Brian Niedermeyer knows what he's doing from a recruiting standpoint in more ways than one. His tweet was indicative of that yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. I learned that we have we got a stud wide receiver and this Walker Merrill kid out of the Mid-State for the Tennessee Volunteers. He's a really good player. Good get. Everybody wanted him, and I'm glad we got him.
I learned that Kansas's athletic director is not good at his job.
Yeah, Jeff Long, man. Whew, brutal.
What were you doing?
What are you doing?
And I learned that the if you're Tom Brady, the price for getting the jersey number you want is a solid zero.
It's a zero, but he better do something for him. I mean, I'm sure he will. And if nothing else, throw him the rock a bunch, because every 120 yards he ends up on the season with is about an extra $1 million on a contract as he enters that contract year for his second contract.
Just keep throwing him the ball.
And Kirby Smart. I learned that Kirby Smart's got an assistant head coach that's not another title other than assistant head coach, which is the first that I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's
it's unique.
Rare.
I don't know that it's bad. I think it would be premature to say that that's bad, but it's definitely unique.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting to watch, but I hope it's a total disaster. I mean,
well, duh, of course.
Real about where we feel about what Georgia's going to look like this year. Eric, coming up tomorrow on the show, an interesting comment from Brett McMurphy yesterday on the Feinbaum show about what would happen if college football didn't start on time, what steps could be taken and would be taken. We'll talk about that, and we'll have Steve Forbes on tomorrow at 11.
Yeah, looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah, we'll talk to you then. Joel, thank you as well.
I'll see you guys on video chat.
This is the Eric Haines Show.